Welcome to the Rock of Ages Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Duke Backus. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit rockofagesaog.org.
I believe God is doing an awesome work in His people. I believe the Lord is doing something during this season, church. This is a completely different thing. For myself, it's a completely different thing for you as well. I know that you're used to being here and you're used to being in the house of God to be able to just listen to the word. But I believe the Lord is doing something. We need to stay the course. We need to stay the course during this season because there's been given, you know, instruction from our government and from our city officials, you know, in regards to this whole virus and all this stuff. And so those things are social distancing, washing your hands, disinfecting your homes, limiting travel for only the essential stuff, refraining from large groups and all this stuff. And I believe, church, that this is preparing the horse for battle, so to speak. This is preparing the horse for battle. And I also believe, though, that we should be practicing what God wants us to do in this season. You see, it's not just about getting some days off work or staying at home or the kids being home for spring break an extra couple weeks, because we don't know how long this is going to last. But I do know this much. Right now where you're at, you can proclaim the promises of God over your family. You can anoint your family and you can anoint your home with oil. You can fill your home with songs of deliverance. You can focus yourself, your attention, and your affection on God. You can take time to open up the word every single day and get to know the Lord better. I believe that the Lord has done this to separate the church right now so that individuals can begin to seek God. You see, the church isn't going to save you. It's Jesus Christ alone that will save you. Amen? And so wisdom would teach us that readiness and preparation are good. There's wisdom in getting the horse ready for battle, amen? But I'm not looking for a horse to be my victory, amen? I'm looking for the King of Glory who's robed in splendor and majesty and who's riding on that horse to deliver us from this viral attack, amen? And so right there where you're at, I want us to just pray for tonight's word. Holy Spirit, we just invite you, Lord, into this building, God, into every single home, Lord. I pray in the name of Jesus, Holy Spirit, that you would speak mightily through me, God. And Lord, may every word, Lord, that is my own fall to the ground. But I pray, Lord, tonight that, Lord, you would speak louder than any of my voice tonight. And so, Holy Spirit, touch hearts. I pray tonight, God, that you would just mend broken hearts, God. You would bring restoration and healing, God. And most of all, Father, you would remind us that you are still on the throne. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Trusting in God can look like preparation, amen? It can look like washing our hands, practicing social distancing and all the like. But the world can accomplish these things too, church. You see, the world can do all those things as well and not trust God. And so doing these things, I believe these would be our works. The Bible says that faith without works is dead, amen? So it's important to back our preparation with practice, amen? That is doing the things that we've been instructed to do in order to see this virus just be defeated in Jesus' name. But the Bible also teaches us that it's not by strength nor by power, but by the Spirit, says the Lord Almighty, amen? He is and He was and He will always be the victory for the church. And so I believe in these days that we're living in, church, every single curse, every single thing, it doesn't matter from 2,000 years ago to today and beyond, every single curse has been broken and defeated when Jesus Christ gave His life for you and me. When He spilled His blood on that cross on Calvary, when He gave up His life, He defeated every single virus, every single disease, every single famine. Not one curse is lasting because Jesus has broken it all through His blood, amen? And right now, we need to proclaim that over our families. We need to proclaim that over our communities, over our cities, over our states, over our nation, our government, and in our world, amen? That this virus will be defeated in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. And so during this season, I've seen several things, church, that I want us to just acknowledge tonight. I've seen several things that this virus from the enemy has caused. everything from fear and panic to hoarding to isolation. All of a sudden we see that there's this thing that's happening right now and everybody's worried. You get on social media right now and on the top it says COVID-19 or coronavirus updates, or you see death tolls and you're seeing all of these things. And I need to remind you, church, that all of these things are the fingerprints of the enemy at work in the world. Make no mistake about it. The Bible calls the enemy the father of lies. He is the voice of condemnation. He is the one who heightens fear when God is speaking faith over you and over your family. But the enemy is doing everything he can because he wants isolation. Because if he can isolate you, then maybe he can attack you because you might be weak, or he might prey on those who are weak. And so the enemy loves when the people of God, they hoard and they keep, because what's actually happening is it's robbing them of their future seed. When all of a sudden you say, you know what, I've got to hold on to everything that I can. I've got to hang on to everything that is attainable for me right now, because I don't know when the store is going to open. I don't know when the line at HEB is going to get shorter. And so all of a sudden we've got this fear to hold on, church. We've got this fear to just hoard things and to put it away, but I believe the enemy will use that to rob you of your future seed. And so when we find ourselves buying into the panic, when we find ourselves buying into the fear, we've only proven one thing, and that is this, is that we can hear the voice of the enemy. You can hear the voice of the enemy because you're reacting to fear. When you've bought into all the panic that the world is experiencing right now, you're proving one thing, that you can hear his voice. But I believe the Lord would speak to his people as he's done many times before and say, fear not, I am with you. Fear not, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. When we find ourselves in fearful isolation, we need to look up to the heaven where our help comes from. Amen. When we find ourselves isolated in our homes and just gathered amongst our family and just amongst a small group of people, we need to remember, church, that we need to look up to heaven, because that's where the help comes from. The help doesn't even come from this building. The help doesn't come from hearing the president issue out good news. That's not the help. He is our help, amen? And just because you can't attend church doesn't mean that you have to be separate from the Lord. I believe that he is with you now, amen? I believe that he is with you now. 2 Samuel chapter 22, verses 4 through 7, it says, I called to the Lord, who is worthy of praise, and I have been saved from my enemies. The waves of death, they swirled about me. And the torrents of destruction, they overwhelmed me. And the cords of the grave, they coiled around me. And the snares of death have confronted me. But he says, in my distress, I called to the Lord and I called out to my God. And from his temple, he heard my voice and my cry came to his ears. Right now, somebody in this place, somebody listening to this broadcast could be in distress. All you've been seeing is news of bad reports. All you're seeing is death tolls. And right now you're saying, what hope is there for me? What hope is there for this life? I'm fearful. I'm panicked. I'm distressed. My friend, call out to God. Call out to the maker of the heavens and the earth. The Bible says, neither is his arm too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear. He can save you. He can replace that fear with faith. He can replace that panic with his promises if you would just trust in him today. Amen. 2 Chronicles 7:14. Many of you know this verse. It says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, he says, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. In this season, we should be less concerned about what the enemy is trying to accomplish and more concerned about what God wants to accomplish in us. Amen. in this season, we should be more aware, or we should be aware rather of what the news says, but we should be giving God our full attention. In this season, our focus should be on the presence of an almighty Savior instead of on social media scare tactics. In this season, our family should be gathered praying for our loved ones in our cities and our nation. In this season, we should repent of having God be secondary in any area of our lives, and we should make Him our priority once again. Because I believe that the Lord is not only doing a work in the world, church, but He is setting you up for a renovation. He is setting up the body of Christ for a revival. He's setting up the hearts of people for a restored place. He wants to do something new in us. But guess what? It begins right there in your home. I said it begins in homes. It begins with families turning to Jesus. It begins with cities acknowledging God. It begins with parents teaching their children the ways of God once again. It begins with us taking a stand and drawing clear lines once again. You see, and if the Lord has to allow a season to shake you so that in order of your heart to be awakened, then receive what God is doing in your life today. If you've got to be shaken just for a moment so that you can have that awakening to seek out the Lord, to search for Him, maybe you've gone astray. Listen, the time is now to come back. Listen, maybe your faith, you know, it was once on fire, but now that fire has dwindled out. It's the time, church. Now is the time to come back to Jesus. I believe right now we can practice social distancing while stirring up a spiritual closeness to God. I believe that just because we're separate, we can actually get closer to God. His word says, therefore, come out and be separate and touch no unclean thing, says the Lord. I believe, church, that God is okay with separation as long as it results in sanctification. That means there is a separation of heart and body. There is coming out of the ways of the world and turning back to Jesus. Shutting off the TV. Turning off the phones. Doing all those things that may be a distraction in your life. And coming back to that place where you're just in a relationship with the Almighty God. See, the world is asking for social distancing, but I believe God is using this season for family restoration. Some of you haven't been at home with your kids. Some of you haven't had time to hug your spouse. Some of you haven't even, you know, been able to sit down and have a meal with your family, but now you are. And I believe God is bringing the family back to the core values of what is important. No more sitting at restaurants, everybody on their phone, and no one's looking at each other. But actually restoring relationship. He is a perfect Father. And when we accept Him as a child, this perfect relationship is now restored. There's no fractures from your walk with Him on earth to heaven. But it's a perfect thing. He restores your life, my friend. And so the world is saying, be afraid. But God is shouting, come into peace and rest with me. Come into a place of knowing that I have got it under control. That I will take care of my children. That I will never leave you. That I will never abandon you. That I will never forsake you. This is who God is to us. Amen. The world is saying, hoard everything that you can get. And I believe God is saying, give everything that you have. It sounds completely contradictory. It sounds completely countercultural. Hold on to everything because you're living in fear. And God's saying, hold on a second. And the measure that you sow is the measure that you'll reap. And the measure that you give is the measure that you'll receive. And I believe the Lord is calling us back, church, to foundations that He has established for His people to not only walk in blessing, but to experience the abundance of life that He has given us. Amen? And so the Lord is doing something in the earth right now. The Lord is doing something in the church right now. Now, I have to be clear, and I need to say this tonight. The Lord hasn't brought this virus. The Lord wasn't the one that sent a plague into the earth to scare everybody back to Him. But I believe that God could use any circumstance and He can turn it for the good of those who love him. Amen? And so in the Bible, there's a few instances where we see God's people react and respond to famine. And I believe the Lord would desire that we do these same things in these days that we are living in. One of my favorite quotes is this, is that Jesus didn't live in reaction to the devil, but he always lived in response to his Father's voice, or he lived in response to what the Spirit of God was doing. Amen? And so in Genesis chapter 26, if you have your Bible, you can open it up there and you can read this whole story on your own time, but I'm going to just paraphrase for a little bit. The Bible teaches us that Isaac, there was this famine that was happening throughout the land. There was basically this plague that was going on, and it was happening in his midst. And it was a different famine than the one that his father Abraham had faced. And so Isaac, all of a sudden, he had faced the loss of his property. He had a ranch, he had a farming business, he had herds, and he had flocks, and he had crops. And so Isaac finds himself standing on the brink of losing everything that he's got. He finds himself, once being very wealthy and now just almost to the point of begging. And so he stands on this place where he knows that he's got to make some crucial decisions for his future. He gets discouraged because the famine was so severe that he was basically fearing bankruptcy. And so the question was, what was he going to do? Stay in the promised land and forsake it, or go down back south, back towards to Egypt, where there was fertile land and there was plenty of markets for his herds and his crops? And so Isaac was facing this terrible trial and this temptation, the trial of losing everything that he had, and in that moment of temptation to ultimately distrust God, to stop believing God and forsake that promised land. How would he end up under such trial and temptation? What happened for Isaac was he actually began to weaken under the pressure, and he started turning from the promised land, and he began to move his herds and his flocks back towards Egypt. Now, for those of you that don't know, Egypt was the place that they had just been delivered from. They had been freed from this place of slavery. And Isaac, not knowing what to do, he thought for a moment, well, God, you called me this way, but God, I just don't see anything over there for me, so I'm just going to turn back to my old ways. I'm going to turn back to that old place, back to that old land. And so on the way to Egypt, he stops in this city of Gerar, which was the capital of the Philistines. They were his enemy. And he asked for help from Abimelech, which was the ruler of the Philistines. But I want us to note something. In this journey back towards Egypt, he has this encounter with God. And God appears to Isaac and he instructs him not to go down into Egypt, but to stay in the land where God would tell him to live, and that God would fulfill the promises in that land. Genesis chapter 26 and verse 12 says this is what Isaac did after hearing the word of God. Isaac planted crops in that land, and the same year he reaped 100-fold because the Lord blessed him. The man became rich, and his wealth continued to grow until he became very wealthy. He had so many flocks and herds and servants that the Philistines, his enemy, actually envied him. Even when the pressure from the outside becomes so much, even when the pressure of the world is caving in around you, church, wanting you to fall back into your own ways because you cannot see the light of day that is on the horizon, I need to encourage you tonight. I need to give you a word of hope tonight. I believe that the Lord is speaking to you and I just like he was spoken to Isaac. And that is this, to stay in that place where God has planted you. To not run away, to stay there, and to plant into that season that you are currently experiencing. Because in due time, the Bible tells me that you will reap a harvest if you do not give up. I said, you will reap a harvest if you do not give up. And when everyone is keeping their supply to ride out the storm, I believe that faith looks like planting the seed that you could have eaten on that day and watching God feed you for a lifetime. This is the way my God works. This is the way that he supplies for his children. Psalms 37 and verse 19 says, in times of disaster, they will not wither. In days of famine, they will enjoy plenty. I speak that into your homes tonight in Jesus' name. Don't panic in this season, but plant. I'll say that again. Don't panic in this season, but plant. Plant seeds now for a future blessing for your family. I believe that God has provided every single seed that you have today. And in obedience, as you plant into your family, as you take time to bless your children, as you prioritize your relationship with God, it will bring an increase of power, blessings, and the providence of God back into your life. But plant and do not panic in Jesus' name. In Nehemiah chapter 5, there was this panic that was aroused by the rulers and the authorities of the people at that time. And because of the panic, it was causing people to sell their homes. It was causing people to sell property and businesses and all of their wealth to stay afloat during the famine. The rulers were beginning to charge incredible amounts of interest, and they were basically price gouging. And I believe that this might even be happening in certain places today. But as these things were happening, the underlying factor that the enemy was trying to accomplish was the destruction of the supply of God's people. He was trying to rid them of everything that they had. Because if they sold it then, they might have a little bit, but if the famine continued, it would eventually run out. He was trying to destroy their supply. And so Nehemiah, who was a prophet of God, he rebuked the rulers, and they gave back everything to the people. Houses, lands, businesses, and even the interest that they were charged. But Nehemiah shows us a key to trusting God in famine. And I believe it's found in Nehemiah 5 and verse 10. He says, me and my brothers and my men were also lending the people money and grain. You see, I believe the Lord, church, is restoring us back to fulfilling Scripture once again, when the word says that we will be lenders and not borrowers. He's restoring us back to a place of trusting him with our generosity and trusting him with our wealth. Amen? Not only for ourselves, but for others in need. You see, I need to remind somebody tonight that the church was never called to be a club for the saints. I said the church was never called to be a club for the saints, but rather a hospital for sinners. It's the very place where the hurting, the needy, the broken, the outcasts can find healing. They can find supply. They can find restoration, community, and family. Nehemiah wasn't hoarding during the famine, but he was helping. In church, faith looks like taking from our supply to help somebody in need. Faith looks like taking something that you have and using it to bless somebody and watching God provide for your very needs. The Macedonian church in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, they were in the midst of a severe, horrible trial. There was persecution and there was famine. They were being killed because of their faith. But the Bible says that their overflowing joy during a time and a season of famine and trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. I need to pray for somebody tonight because maybe you're saying, Pastor Duke, I don't even know how much I've got left. Right now, they're not giving us hours at work. Right now, they're not, you know, they're sending people home. Right now, I don't know when I'm going to get my next paycheck. Listen to me right now. May the Spirit of the living God just cover you with joy today. May the Spirit of the living God cover you with peace right now and assurance that he is not going to let you falter. The Bible says that I have never seen the righteous begging for bread. He has never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging for bread. This is a promise in the truth of God. And the Bible says in the midst of their severe trial, with overflowing joy and in extreme poverty, it welled up in rich generosity. 2 Corinthians 9 and 10 says, now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can become generous on every occasion. And that through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Amen? If you want to see the world acknowledge our God, then match his love with your generosity. I said, match his love with your generosity. Right now, the elderly are struggling to find things off the shelf. Listen, provide for that need. Right now, you might know a family inside or outside of the church. It doesn't matter. But you may know somebody in need that might be struggling for their next paycheck. I pray in Jesus' name that you would be moved in your heart enough to bless somebody's life. Because I am absolutely 1,000% sure that my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. Amen. But we need to match the grace of God with our willingness to help and serve somebody else in times of need. My God has given us everything that we need, church. He grants us the desires of our hearts. He supplies us with plenty in times of peril. He calls us victorious when everyone else is victimized. But he has not changed his commission for everyone that believes in him. His mission for you and I has not changed. He is still saying to the church to love the people of this world so that they too can encounter the powerful love of Jesus. So that they can encounter the powerful love of Jesus that you and I know. I believe that the Lord is still longing for this world to trade their sorrows for his joy. I believe that he still desires this world to trade their pain for his promises. I believe that he is still speaking life over those that are suicidal. I believe that he is still mending hearts that have been broken. I believe that my God is still restoring families and relationships. I believe that he is still breaking every single demonic chain. He is still setting free those who have been held in slavery by addiction. He is still the light in the darkness, and his glory and his power are still the anchor that this world needs. Amen? And right there where you are in your homes, I believe that the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of God is speaking to somebody tonight. You've been listening to this word and you've been listening to this message. And for whatever reason, the enemy has tried to heighten pain and struggle and hurt and offense and loss in your life. And you've strayed away from the notion of placing your trust in God. You've listened to the outside voices and you've listened to what the news says about God, or you've listened to what distorted teachers and preachers are saying false things about this God. You might have even been hurt by the church, or you've questioned the existence of God because the one time you prayed for something to happen, the one time you asked God to intervene in that situation, nothing happened. But I am here to tell you today, I am here to remind you of a hope that is alive today, because Jesus is alive today. I said, Jesus is alive and well today, my friend. 1 Peter 1:3 says, praise be to the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish. It can never spoil or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you. It says, and who through faith you are shielded by God's power until the coming of salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last times. And so right there, wherever you are watching from, if you haven't given your heart to Jesus today, I believe that today is the day that that all changes, my friend. I believe that today is the day that that all changes. And it's as simple as simply praying and believing in faith that you are saved. It's as simple as inviting and asking Jesus to come into your heart. You might be saying, Pastor Duke, well, you don't know who I am. You don't know what I've done. When Jesus Christ shed his blood for you, my friend, it doesn't matter what you've done. The blood of Jesus covers all sins. And today, if you would accept him into your heart, you will find that he will create in you a new heart, that the old will be gone and that the new will come, that he will change your former way of living to a new way of life through a relationship with him and his Holy Spirit. And so I want to pray for you today. And it's as simple as just asking Jesus into your heart. And so if you're listening right now with just every head bowed and every eye closed, I want us to just be obedient to the Lord right now. And the Holy Spirit is tugging at your heart today, and you're hearing that still small voice that is saying, just give your heart to him. Right now, you're just warm all over your body because the Holy Spirit is right there with you. Listen to me right now. Just simply say these words. Say, Jesus. Say it right there where you are. Say, Jesus. Say, I come to you today in need of forgiveness and salvation. Say, I believe that you were raised from the dead for my sins. And I ask you to come into my heart, to fill me with your Spirit. And I believe today I am made new. Say it. Say, I am made new in Jesus' name. Amen. If you or somebody else tonight prayed that prayer, or if somebody that was with you prayed that prayer, I want you to just celebrate with them right now. I want you to just rejoice over them right now. I want you to just hug them. I want you to love them. And I want you to just welcome them into the family of God right there where they are at. Because I believe that right now heaven is rejoicing. The Bible says that heaven rejoices when one sinner comes to repentance. And so today was your day, friend. Today was your opportunity to come back to Jesus, to dedicate your life to him or rededicate your life to him. And so we want to hear about it. Listen, if you've been watching, we want to hear about it. Post it in the comment section below or send us a message so that we can know about it. But I believe this season is a season of hearts turning back to Jesus. Amen. I believe that this season that we are experiencing now is a season where the church is going to rise up and awaken from her slumber once again. And there's going to be revival in our cities as we see souls come back to Jesus. It is a moment of great harvest. Amen. And so I want to pray with you before we're dismissed tonight. If you would just pray with me tonight. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, I thank you, God, for every listening ear, God. I thank you for every single person, God, Lord, that is tuned in this evening, Father. And I pray for them, God, and every single family that is represented. I pray in the name of Jesus tonight, God, that, Lord, you would remove all fear, God, and you would replace it, God, with acts of faith, Lord. I believe in the name of Jesus, God, that you would remove all panic, God, and you would replace it with seeds that are now planted. Remove worry, God, and replace it with worship. Bring restoration back to families. Bring restoration back to the church. Rebuild the church, God, in the image of Jesus once again, Father. And Lord, we rebuke the enemy, God, and we cancel out this virus, God, in the name of Jesus, God, because, Lord, you died for our sins, God, and when you shed your blood, Father God, you said that your children would be victorious over all things, God, over sickness, disease, Father God, Lord, over poverty, God, over anything, Lord, that the enemy would try to bring our way, Father. And so right now, God, we place this curse under the feet of Jesus right now, Father. And God, we proclaim victory, God, for your children, Lord, once again, in Jesus' name. We stand on your word, God, and we stand on your promises, Father, until you come, in Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Join us next time for another uplifting message. If you'd like to support this ministry and the reaching out of others, you have the opportunity to give at rockofagesaog.org/give.